The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Vigil Mass. Seminarian for our diocese, Deacon Jacob Miller, assisted at the altar. He's concluding his final semester of seminary formation. It was good to see him. And earlier this week, I got to connect with our diocesan seminarian from our parish, Luke Ross. His parents are here. I can inform you that he is doing well in his first semester of seminary formation. My interactions with these gentlemen remind me of my first days in seminary, and this does not apply to them, but it kind of applies to me and some other guys. When we enter seminary, it's more than just an academic, intellectual formation of theology. You could say it's almost like a finishing school. It's some of us are just like unrefined barbarians, so like we need to like refine the edges and kind of train us in the virtues and courtesy and decency. The memory that comes back to me was we shared a cafeteria with the undergrads on the campus of Mount St. Mary's in Maryland, but we also had a house kitchen that we could reserve and to make meals just for smaller groups of guys. And for 2 or 3 months, we noticed the kitchen was always filthy. It was nasty. People wouldn't clean up after themselves. So this has got to change. So a group of us went to the rector, the head of the seminary, and told him, Monsignor, something's got to change. The house kitchen, it's filthy. And he said, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Off they went. Later that week was going to be the rector's seminar conference. He was going to address the whole seminary bodies. And so that day we all file into the pews of the chapel. And my buddies and I were awaiting. This is the rector's going to let him have it. You know, this is when he's going to unleash, you know. And that day he looked at us and said, gentlemen, I've noticed that not just one, but almost every group in the seminary separately have all come to me to tell me about the filthy kitchen. And what's maybe miraculous or shocking is that none of them claim to be the culprits. So either it's a miracle and it gets messy itself, or all of you are to blame. And he said, it's hard to get in the mindset of someone who uses the kitchen, and then as they're walking away and they see the mess, what's going through their minds? Could it be that they're thinking to themselves, oh, they'll do it? Monsignor asked us that day, who are they? They will do it. Who are they? Monsignor looked at us and said, I'm here to tell you, you are they. You are the ones who should clean the kitchen. And while it was humorous, it was very humbling for us that we thought, you know, we were the clean ones. Everybody had a part to play. It was really a lesson, not just about a kitchen, right? It was about recognizing, yeah, somebody had paid for that kitchen for us seminarians, and we were trying to just take care of it, and we should have. But it's larger, just having that heart of pitching in, doing what's necessary, and ultimately being a steward of what's given to you. In priests, St. Paul says that we're stewards of the mysteries. So even the truths of the faith and the sacraments are not our possessions. We're simply stewards of them as we live. It's almost like that episode in my formation was like a living embodiment of the gospel today. The parable that the Lord Jesus tells us, where you'd think that the exemplar in a parable would be like the professional religious guy, the Pharisee. And he's got a lot going for him. He is quick to tell God all the things he's doing right. But he's very prideful. And ultimately, that's what prevents him from being justified in that circumstance. It's the Jewish tax collector who really is a despicable figure in the eyes of the Jewish people because he is collaborating with the Roman government that fleeces the people and rips them off. At the very least, he knew he needed forgiveness. Instead of telling God, he became open to God. He humbled himself. And in the end, he was able to offer his heart because he recognized life is a gift from the Lord. Mercy is a gift from the Lord. Everything is a gift from the Lord. And ultimately, remember, they're going to the temple area to pray to offer fitting sacrifice. It was he, the tax collector, whose sacrifice was accepted by God. This parable is also very fitting because this weekend is our St. Louis de Montfort annual stewardship renewal. And we do this every year, a stewardship renewal, and we do this for several reasons. Number one, because even that nomenclature helps us understand who we are and what we're ought to do. We are stewards. Everything is a gift. It is not our possession. We're simply stewards to use it as the Lord wishes for his glory. That includes our time. Our time is a gift from the Lord. Our talents and abilities are from the Lord for his purposes, as well as our treasure as well. It's also helpful that we have a weekend every year for this renewal because it's important to be deliberate and intentional. It shouldn't be an afterthought what we give to God. It happens to most of some of us that, oh, I forgot whatever's in my wallet. Well, nowadays, very few people actually have cash in their wallets. They just have, you know, plastic and maybe even just their phone. But ultimately, it should not be an afterthought of what we give to the Lord. We shouldn't just give our leftovers to him. I think about how busy we are and how life is so full. And in the back of our minds, we're saying, well, if I have some time left over, I'll give it to the church or to God. And the problem is, I get to see it every day. Many of you see it regularly. How much goes on here at St. Louis de Montfort? I mean, you're talking about the outreach that we do to the sick and the poor and the homebound. If you're talking about the formation opportunities we have for every age group at the parish, whether you're talking about all the liturgical ministries we have here at the parish, there's a lot going on. And maybe in the back of our minds, we're thinking like, who's going to do all this stuff? And maybe you think to yourself, they'll do it. I am here to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, you are they. We are they. The Lord depends upon us to not just give him our leftovers, but to give what the scriptures say, our first fruits, our very best. This distinguishes Cain from Abel in the very beginning and ultimately distinguishes the Pharisee from the tax collector today. We give our first fruits for the Lord, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And ultimately, we ought to give out of gratitude to God. We realize our life is a gift. His mercy, his grace, everything given, we should be giving because we're so grateful to the Lord who's given to us. And I'm so grateful to so many of you who routinely show tremendous examples of generosity here at the parish. Sometimes I'm asked, Father, what does our weekly collection go to? What is our offertory? What does it go to? And these are rough numbers. Usually at the end of the year, we give kind of a more formal financial report. But generally speaking, our weekly collection, just about half of it goes to our compensation to our employees. So our salary and our benefit to all of our incredible staff that do so many great things here. About 15% of it is operating expenses, like the utilities, maintenance, technology needs, things like that. 25% runs our ministries that are so fruitful and so active. It runs our outreach activities, but also includes the 25% our weekly tithe. Many of you know this, but St. Louis de Montfort is called a tithing parish. And that means no matter how low our revenue is or how big, no matter how much our expenses are or how low, we give 10% of our weekly collection to an organization that helps the needy. And the point is that we're trying to live by example to show you we're going to give God our first fruits as a parish so that you might know that you can do the same as well. And we strive to be good stewards of the gifts you give to the parish. We wish to be deliberate, intentional, and wise on what it goes towards to maximize the work of the church for the salvation of souls and the spreading of his kingdom. Other people will ask me, Father, how do we determine what to give to God, to the church, to charities, things like that? And I do respect your situation and your intelligence and your freedom too much. I will not dictate to you what you should give, but usually like general guidelines can be helpful in your own discernment. And it was my own parents who formed me. I've told the story before that my first job through junior high and high school was my brother and I had a sweet corn business. We sold sweet corn at a roadside stand. We'd spend all summer picking sweet corn. And at the end of the summer, we'd sit at the kitchen table with mom and dad. We'd tally up our revenue. What was our first calculation? It's 10%. And ultimately, usually as a family, we would determine that 5% would go to our parish, which was St. Boniface when I was growing up. 1% would go to our diocese, the Diocese of Lafayette. And then 4% would go to any charity. So we kids got to choose what charity we were passionate about. And that taught us to give God our first fruits. So that's just one example. Another example, this happened earlier this fall. One morning, I was reading one of the national newspapers I read just to kind of keep up, and I think it was the Wall Street Journal. It had an article about budgeting, and the budgeting suggestion by this expert was the principle of thirds. So a third, a third, a third. The first third would be your living expenses. Your second third would be your savings, and then your third third would be whatever. If you've saved and you've spent on the expenses, that's up to you. You can have fun with it. So later that day, I have a meeting with parishioners, a couple who's been dedicated to the mission of our parish, who loves the church and has been generous to us in the past. And I kind of asked how they go about their generosity. And they said, Father, we kind of go a third, a third, a third. And I said, this sounds familiar. I was thinking this to myself. But their thirds were different. Their third was the first third was to God, to tithing and to charity. And the second third was their expenses. And the third was their savings. You see the difference. They understood it's all from the Lord and he deserves. And that's a very generous portion. But it shows that if you put God first, he will richly bless you in his own due time. And I will say, if you're not in the habit of being intentional of how you tithe and how you give to charities, start simple. $1 a week. I don't know, whatever your situation is, start simple and it begins the habit. And I will say, I do this myself. Every year, I sit down and look at my expenses, I look at my accounts, and I determine what's a good sacrificial gift the Lord is asking me to give to the church and to other charities. And I think it's important to teach young people, like my parents did to me. I just talked to parishioners that have toddlers at the parish earlier this week, and they showed me a book that they go through with their kids. It's called Growing with Jesus, and it's got illustrations, and one of the pages was about giving God first fruits, and it gives these practical tips of saying if you get $1 for your weekly allowance, set aside 10 cents for God. Or if your grandpa gives you 20 bucks for your birthday, determine what goes to God first. And it's just training the heart for these children to know it's all a gift from the Lord in the end. I think it's helpful also this weekend to make a distinction. So some of our efforts here at the parish was what we'd call fundamental. Our stewardship renewal is fundamental. We do this every year to determine what the Lord is asking of us. I'd also say that the diocesan Catholic ministries appeal every year. It's fundamental. The parish needs the services our chancery provides. That will happen in the spring, and we'll address that in due time. But this winter, we'll have something exceptional, and that will be our parish capital campaign, which will begin to accomplish phase one of our 15-year master plan that includes a larger church and a larger adoration chapel. That will be exceptional, and that will be over and above what we tie to the parish. And I've already been asked by a few people, Father, is it okay if we just kind of take our our weekly tithe and kind of shift it to the capital campaign. So we're so excited about it. But the problem is, we've got to keep the lights on, and I've got to pay my staff. So we really can't shift it from our tithing to the capital campaign. Both must be accomplished. It's kind of like if you have a home addition, while you build on to your house, you still have to keep the lights on. The same here at St. Louis de Montfort. So some practicals this weekend. Hopefully, this past week, in the mail, you received our stewardship brochure and our commitment card. What we're asking of you, we're inviting you this week, in the coming weeks, to pray and to discern. If you have a spouse, with your spouse, if for your family, pray with your family. First of all, on the time and talent portion, where is the Lord asking us to give of our time and our talent? And to help you with that, it's on our website, but it's also in the entrances of the church, over by the elevator and by the TV. There's the Called Into Mission booklets. It lists every single ministry and outreach opportunity at our parish. You can go through those to help you discern how you will be giving of your time and talent, especially in 2026. With regards to your treasure, this is what the commitment card's for. Now, if by chance in the past few days you've like misplaced it, lost it, or by one freak accident is already maybe in the trash, don't you worry. We have extras here in all the entrances and exits. So if you're just on the safe side, you pick one up today. I'd also ask you to pray through what is the Lord asking of you to give your fruits, first fruits to God in 2026. And some priests are kind of hesitant to talk about finances in the pulpit. And I will admit, early in my priesthood, it was kind of intimidating, but the more I've lived the priesthood, the more I'm convinced that how we interact and make decisions with the things of this world is part and parcel of being a disciple. It's what the Lord asks us to do as stewards and disciples. I'm convinced that yes, when we're generous with God, it pleases Him. And when we're generous with God and the church, we do incredible things in this world. But even beyond that, when we give to the Lord generously, I become detached in a healthy way from the things of this world. Every time I give to the Lord, it's an act of trust that the Lord will provide for me. And ultimately, I become more and more convinced that I too, you all do, we all have a part to play in the mission of the church. And in some sense, in some ways, the parish isn't all that different from the seminary. It's not just academic formation here. We're trying to form people to have servant hearts and ultimately be stewards of the good things of God.